Hey guys, it's Matt here, and I got a story for you. When I was a kid, I was playing hockey, and oh man, there was this one year, this one team, we could not beat these guys. They were all over us. They were competitive games, though. They were tight, but we just could not beat them. And I remember the last game of the year, it was up against this team, and we were gearing up. We were like, we have to get these guys. When we won that last game, it was so satisfying because we finally got the victory over the team that had dummied us, that had dominated us for so long. I think this is the same thing with sexual brokenness, with sexual sin, where there's been brokenness in our lives and the enemy has come and taken ground and he's dominated us for so long, but we get to make a difference. We get to be part of a message and a mission of freedom. It is such a cool opportunity. So I want to invite you, men and women of any age, to be part of the Action Squad. The Action Squad is something that we're putting together right now. We're looking for 100 people to be on the Action Squad. There's going to be some competitive nature to it. There's prizes. And we're going to work together to help produce a documentary that is literally going to change the world. We're featuring stories of sexual brokenness, of people who have been restored and redeemed, reconciled to God and to people in their lives. And we're going to feature these stories in this world-class documentary that will be a resource for churches to host movie nights, for small groups to watch together, for families to watch and be inspired by. And it's going to highlight the problem in the church, but also show the power of God that is at work when we bring this stuff to light. And so if you want to be part of the Action Squad and help us put this documentary together, I would love for you to go to restoredministries.ca/action squad. You can watch a 10-minute video there that I put together on what it can look like for you to join us in this mission and be part of putting this documentary together. So restoredministries.ca/action squad. Hope to see you there.
Welcome to the Pure Victory Podcast, full of hot tips to help you win at sex, conquer porn, and find purpose in staying free forever. Here are your hosts, Matt Klein and Braden Hafner.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Pure Victory Podcast. We are so glad to be back with you today, and it's just us this time. I mean, we've had guests on for the last 3 or 4 podcasts.
So a lot of guests.
A lot of guests, and we love our guests. It's great to have guests. It's nice just having us again. It's because we get to talk more.
We love our voices.
You will listen. No, but yeah, we're excited to do another one, just us, because it's, I don't know, we find we can have a little bit more of a conversation on things that we're thinking about currently. And there's something that we were just chatting about the other day, because we've dealt with many different guys and girls and like battling porn addiction, battling addiction in general. And we've been here too, but really in along the lines of, when do we look to get help? Outside help when we are battling something like porn? And this is a question that might seem very self-evident, the answer to it, to some, to others, no clue, and everybody in between. So we want to chat about this because sometimes we have a lack of understanding or maybe some roadblocks or barriers that we are aware of or maybe not aware of that are there that are stopping us from getting help. So that's the question today. When should I seek outside help?
Never. Never. Isn't that what we tell ourselves? Yeah. I never need help.
That's right.
I can do this all on my own.
I'm strong enough.
Yeah. We were thinking about it before recording, like how many of us don't go through that? I think every person I've ever talked to, including Brad and including me, mm-hmm. we go through a time of thinking, oh, I don't need help. I never need to tell anybody. I can do this myself. And and it's interesting thinking about why we say that. Because do we say that because our skill set is sufficient to do it on our own? Do we say that because we are competent in recovering, in healing, in getting free, or whatever we're talking about? Do we do that because we're sufficient? Or do we do it because, no, nobody needs to know what I've done. I don't want people to know, so I'll just do it myself. And it's not, our motivation in that is never, it's never healthy. It's never because we are sufficient. Mm-hmm. We can lie to ourselves because and say we're sufficient, but that comes from shame. That comes from wanting to hide. So understanding your motivation behind wanting to hide is really important. We can lie to ourselves all day long. We can tell ourselves like, no, I think I can do this on my own. And I always think, how long have you been saying that? Mm-hmm. I told myself that for 10 years, probably. I told myself that constantly, I can do it on my own. Yeah. And yeah. And so if you're there and you're worried about reaching out, or if you're worried about what it would look like to get help, if that would even work for you, consider what you're skeptical of. Is consider, are you skeptical of yourself and your ability to follow through? Are you skeptical of the person or the ministry or whatever, whether restored or family life or any other marriage or personal ministry? What are you really skeptical of? And one of my favorite things that people say to me is, hey, I just feel skeptical right now. It's like, all right, that's okay. Like I'm pretty much always skeptical too when I'm looking at joining things. And skeptical is never a bad thing. Skeptical means I don't have all the information to make me feel secure here. And so let's find out the information that I need to find out. And so if you're thinking, like I made a joke, like never seek help. But if you're actually there, like you don't think you need help, let's look at that. What are your motivations and what are your skepticisms around staying hidden yourself or reaching out?
Yeah. And sometimes we need to go back a little bit because, for instance, your family of upbringing, the imprint that your family of origin has had on you, is a thing. So if you grew up in a family where you didn't talk about things, where you didn't share deep inner hurts, you didn't share about things that you're struggling with. Why? Because maybe you were met with ridicule or criticism. Maybe you were looked down upon if you struggled with anything, and that's just what you grew up in. Then your wiring, so to speak, was modeled for you as something that you're carrying forward into your present right now. And so it can be really hard to share about anything that's going on in life, specifically something like porn. I mean, even people that have an open kind of environment growing up where things were shared, this is still an area that can be really difficult because it is something that shame is linked to often. So you add that to the mix too. But if this is something for you that you just don't have the skill set or the understanding or the drive even to share because you were met with a lot of negativity growing up, this is something that we need to work through, and it does take time. But often the things that were modeled for us, we don't realize are the things that we're recreating in our life. So I just think that this is something that we need to work through as well. And those imprints that our family has given us. And some of it's been good, but sometimes, yes, it has been bad. And in some of us that grew up in different cultures too, shame culture is something that's big in certain cultures where you don't admit any struggle. You don't admit anything like that. You only talk about your successes. You only elevate yourself. You don't want to bring up anything that can bring shame to you or your family. So this is something, if you're in that kind of culture, that it can be very difficult too. So we need to work through those things, and we could do a whole podcast on how to work through some of those things. That's a bigger topic, but let's acknowledge that maybe some of our past is now impacting our present in the way that we share and whether we want to share or not. So we have to come to terms with that.
Yeah, it's a great point. It's a great point. Some families, everybody goes to counseling. I remember I walked into this counseling office probably 5-6 years ago, and I there's this family that I know. They had two young kids in elementary, and then the mom and the dad, and they lived about 3 hours away. And then they walk out of the counselor's office, and I was like, guys, what are you doing here? and they're like, oh, we just come for checkups. Like, we just come as a family, and like every month or 2 months or whatever it was, and they just come for checkups. And that's the kind of family that they are. Like, didn't surprise me at all, because they're just very intentional with certain things and growth and doing things just kind of unconventionally. And so I just thought it was really cool. And so how cool that the kids then get an example of even their parents getting help and constantly seeking outside help. Whereas most families, I would say, don't have that. Families, if the parents or if the kids go to counseling, it's simply because there's some massive problem and it's not proactive. It's more reactive if it even happens. And so what's the imprint that's been given to you? Because the imprint biblically that should be on us is that we always need help. Mm-hmm. We always need help. We always need to reach out. And so if we've been raised in a culture that's different from what biblical instruction is, then it's kind of, I always view it as almost a heavy thing, like a heavy weight to lift and go, okay, this is maybe going to be like a slow turn, like a ship at sea, slowly turning and changing course, because what's in us is hard. It's hard to change. We've got these patterns, and often it's more deeply rooted than we realize. And so to change our mindset around things sometimes it takes some time, but to slowly do that and give yourself an opportunity to reach out for help and see the benefit of that, it slowly starts to give you more experiences that can change your belief system around it. And so it is a huge thing to look at. What was the example that we had growing up? And why do we think that we can manage it on our own? It might even be because that's what was demonstrated to us. Yeah. some parents I know for a fact that when they go to see a therapist or counselor of any kind, there's secrecy to it. Like they just mm-hmm. say, oh, I just have an appointment to go to. And they don't talk about what the appointment is. Or if, you know, if someone's talking about what the appointment was, then we don't talk about the content of that. Some people have a negative view of counselors and just like, you know, counselors are, I remember one person, he's like, oh, counselors, like people become counselors because they need, like the people that become counselors, they're the ones that need counsel. Right. More, that's why they do it.
Yeah.
And then that person, they don't get counsel at all and they probably need it in their life.
Yeah.
The person who said that. And so that we got to look at like, what are all the influences around that? And then sometimes we've gotten help ourselves in the past. Sometimes we have reached out. And then those are the things, those experiences have gone negatively, or those people were maybe inadequate to help us in whatever certain area we're looking for help for or in. And sometimes that's the thing that stops us, because our past experiences, when we have reached out, maybe haven't gone well, or it's been okay, but didn't really produce the fruit that we were looking for. And so is there a point then you got to ask yourself where then you should stop? Because if you stop reaching out for help, then you're not getting any. Mm-hmm. Then you're on your own. And as people say, how's that working out for you? Mm-hmm. And so is it your past experiences that are stopping you from reaching out? Because we need to realize that people are different. And, you know, two people can go to one counselor and one will say it's amazing, an amazing experience. One will say it's not. But then those two people can go to another counselor and the response could be the opposite. And so we can get help from a certain ministry or a certain counselor or coach or pastor or friend or anything or anybody. And we just need to realize that even if it didn't go perfectly or wasn't exactly like the experience that we were looking for, that shouldn't stop us from pursuing other places that can help us or other people that can guide us, because that it often is a real thing. And we come across that a lot in the ministry where it's like, hey, I've done this, or I've been involved in this program or done this ministry or you know, did years of counseling that didn't really go well. I hear that a lot, and I don't think it's the fault of the counselors always. Sometimes there probably is, but a lot of times too, we just aren't ready, and we're at a point of our lives where we're not ready to really pursue the deep work that's done in a counseling office or through a ministry. And so if that didn't go well, and that was 2 years ago, well, maybe you're at a different point now, and maybe it will go well for you now.
Yeah, that's right. Well, because if you have the mindset of, I don't think this is going to work, or you just maybe paint your experiences, one experience and all experiences from there out with a broad brush that are all going to be bad, you're looking for it. You're looking for a crack in one of these kind of things that you're reaching out for help in. And instead of actually being open to receive, you're more instead being kind of like an auditor and like, where can I find the problem with this? How is this not going to work for me? And then so your mindset is already self-defeating. And in that case, you're not really going to get the help that you need, because you're not open to it. You're completely closed off. You've hardened yourself to anything. And that's something that I love the analogy of a slow turning ship. We have to kind of get to the point of dealing with some of those past experiences and putting them in their proper light. And sometimes that means we need to forgive, because we've been hurt sometimes. Sometimes we've opened up to somebody, maybe a pastor or a friend or whoever, and they didn't handle that situation very well. Maybe they looked at you like you were crazy, or they said something that was really hurtful. And, you know, so we have to be able to forgive in those moments too. And that can be challenging and hard, but it's something that releases us when we do that. And it's important that we deal with the pain in those moments, because otherwise that pain is just going to fester. So it's important that we deal on that level as well too, because, you know, if we're not able to be fully open and receive, if we are essentially hurting and wounded and to the point of being closed off, we can still be hurt. We can still be feeling wounded, but open versus closed. And so when we don't forgive, we're closed. And so that's why we have to open ourselves up to receive. And I think it's just something that we all have to get to that point. You know, do we want this? And coming back to, you know, our family upbringing and past experience, sometimes it can be too that we have this mentality that if we reach out, if we look to get help, that somehow we're weak, or we are incapable, or we believe lies the enemy tells us, like you don't have what it takes because you got to get help. You're not strong enough because you got to get help, or you've failed because you got to get help. And, you know, these are lies that the enemy tries to keep us stuck and isolated. And really, I mean, really, we do have to surrender. I know I had to. I was very prideful. I thought I could do this on my own. And I didn't want to seek outside help because for me, that was a sign of weakness. That was a monumental failure on my end that I'm not a strong Christ follower. I'm not spiritual enough. You know, I have to actually get help. So that means that somehow there's an indictment on me because I just don't have what it takes. Well, you know what? That's part of the point. We don't. We need God. I mean, if you think you can beat this on your own, then what's our need of Jesus? And really, he's the one, the catalyst and the author and the healer of all of this. So we have to be able to look to him. And if we're not, then really we're working against ourselves and we're going to stay stuck in the same kind of cycle year after year.
Yeah. And some of us can look at that relationship with God if we've had some profound experiences and think, you know, I don't think I need other people. I can just go to God. And that I've seen that in various people be a real detriment to their health because they just think, you know, I can just talk through this with God or I can just, you know, process whatever. But the reality is God sends us to other people and he sends other people to us because that's where shame is broken a lot of times. And it's where humility, I think, is established in people where there has been pride. Because we go to a counselor's office and we realize, like, okay, I don't have all the answers. And also I need to be open with people. And I remember a couple of years ago going to a counselor's office and I didn't know that he knew who I was. And I didn't really know him. I had heard his name before, but I walked in and just sat on his couch. And the first thing he says is he says, well, this is probably weird for you being on the other side of the room, eh? And I was like, yeah, it's different for sure. And he had known about our ministry. And last week, a week and a half ago, I found out that he referred someone to us, which is really cool. And so I was thinking about that because in that time with this counselor, he's counseling me on things personally. He's seen flaws in me, but yet he's still wanting to refer people to our ministry. Now think about this. We often think if we open up to people, they're going to judge us and they're going to know like, oh, you've been wrong in this area or this person, you know, oh man, I heard this negative thing about them. Well, he heard some things about me, things that I was wrestling with and struggling through. And then he's still willing to refer people because we don't need people to see that we're perfect. If people see that we're perfect, they know there's more to us and there's a wall there. But if you're willing to open up and people see your imperfections, then they see that you're just a real person. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's way more respect to be had when you're real and open. So it was awesome with this experience with this counselor. And I remember him saying that, but I also remember in that office thinking, you know, there's some things that we talked about that this isn't arrogant at all. There's some things that we talked about where I would say I probably have more understanding on certain things than him, but there were multiple things that we talked about where I didn't know anything and he was helping me a lot. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want to go into a counselor's office and just expect or a ministry or a group or anything and expect that everything is going to be just so radical, because sometimes it's going to be subtle shifts that they're going to lead us in. And it might be one thing that a person says that when you really dwell on that over time, it can change you. And so there were things that he said multiple that I still remember and it's impacted me and I've thought a lot about it and I put some work to it and it's good. And so we want to have more of an optimistic view when we're seeking help, because when we have negative experiences, oftentimes we look back and we're like, well, we didn't do this or this didn't work for me, but what did work? Because there probably was one thing that you could have held on to and maybe the negatives got in the way. And so you want to look at what are some things that maybe I missed out on, or maybe my attitude was wrong in terms of saying to myself or in terms of the help that I have gotten in the past that was negative. Maybe my attitude wasn't quite there and there were things that could have helped me, but I wasn't at the place of seeing that. And so, you know, there's a reason why there's all these lies and beliefs and things that stop us from seeking help. And that's because there is a real power in it. Mm-hmm. One of the most refreshing things that I've seen in our ministry over the last few years is the power of groups, the power that happens, the transformation when there's vulnerability and there's love and there's empathy and people journeying together. And it's been really cool for me to see just, you know, groups that I'm not involved with and there's still people coming to Christ. There's still marriages restored. It's just amazing what happens when people finally reach out. And so I just encourage you to look at yourself and look at like, hey, what's stopping me? And what maybe could be something that is worth my time investing, worth my money investing into something where I could maybe get, you know, one benefit or two benefits from seeking help, and that could start to change my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so great sharing that, because I think if you're picking up on the theme here, what we're trying to say here is, because you might ask the question is, when should I seek outside help? I mean, I hope you're picking up on this. The answer is now. And yes, we all do. We need it. Like really, that's really what it comes down to, boils to. Scripture tells us that we should keep meeting with one another. And that speaks to the community aspect of what we need in our own faith walk, but also the inner healing journey that we go on. It's a community-based thing. And so when we remove ourselves from that or think that this is only for lesser people or weaker people, we set ourselves up on a platform, so to speak, and props it up as pride. And pride doesn't carry us forward very long. And sometimes it's shame that props us up there too, either pride or shame. And so we need to realize that, hey, we need help. We all need to be in community. And whatever level porn is in your life, whatever level masturbation is in your life, whatever other sexual thing is in your life, these aren't things that we can battle on our own. There are choices that we make on our own, but really we need to battle this together with others. And how do we get to that point of realization? Well, we got to recognize that we need help. Like this can't be something where like, well, I'll just try to hold on and white knuckle it and hope that things get better in life. And maybe at some point something will happen or I'll just outgrow it or whatever else. We've told ourselves these things. I used to tell myself these things. Well, just passage of time will heal all wounds. Not true. And if anything, it made it worse. So we have to get to the place where we recognize we need help. And I used to have friends that really battled addiction. And I'm talking drug addiction because that used to be part of my past. And I always used to hear this in that world is they just need to hit rock bottom to realize the help that they need. And often battling a drug addiction, rock bottom can mean the point of death or the loss of everything. And when it comes to porn, I mean, Matt, we've seen guys hit rock bottom when it comes to porn. It could be loss of a marriage, loss of, you know, the trust of your children, or your loss of income because you're fired or whatever else. All these different things could come across as rock bottom. And it's painful to see people hit those moments. But do we need rock bottom to be actually realize we need help? Or is there maybe a point, maybe you're listening right now, where you're not hitting rock bottom, but you don't want rock bottom. You want to just get help. You want to get past this. Well, we encourage you in that, in the sense that, hey, now is a time that we should look to get help, not when we hit rock bottom, because that's a much, much harder point than if we are proactive, because rock bottom is a reactive thing. Rock bottom is at the point of despair. You know, you have nowhere to go, really. And yes, God meets us in those times. But I think that, you know, the Holy Spirit, by his gentle direction and nudges, is actually speaking now. He's not just speaking to you in the middle of your rock bottom moment. He's speaking to you now. So what if we're proactive? What if we recognize that we need help?
Yeah. What is rock bottom? That's,
for some, it's really big. Others, it might be, I don't know, but
yeah,
rock bottoms. Yeah.
I mean, I remember, I think it was an alcoholic, but I heard him talking about it. He's like, I thought rock bottom was when I lost my family. And then I just kept drinking.
Right.
And then, you know, gamblers, they'll hit rock bottom, they'll lose everything, and then they'll lose their house and their family, and then they'll go into debt and they'll keep gambling.
Yep.
And so the question is, like, when does it get bad enough that you reach out for help?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when is it bad enough? When are you going to finally realize what you've done and then it's time to get better? The reality is, when you live with shame for a day over what you've done, it's time to reach out. It's mm-hmm. time to get help, because it's not God's design for you to live in shame. It's not God's design for you to live with guilt. It's not God's design for you to set your eyes on things of darkness, of sin, and your whole body is filled with darkness and you carry a heavier weight. It's not God's design. So when you're at that point, I think rock bottom, like Brad, and you said at the start, like, it's for a lot of people, it's death. That ultimately is what it is, because if you're still alive, you can always get worse. You can always wreck things more. And so to me, I like looking at rock bottom as a mindset that where you're at is bad enough. And let's say that's rock bottom. And when you hit rock bottom, I like some people, like when you hit the rock bottom, you find that Jesus is the rock, like he's the foundation that you need to rebuild your life on. And so that can be the rock that you finally build on. And maybe it's just where you're at now. You don't have to wait for things to get worse to reach out for help. Yeah. What are some things, Brad, that have come from the weekend getaways that you go through, or maybe the marriage mentoring or whatever you have through family life? Like stories that you've seen, or maybe one story or whatever that you've seen from couples where they have reached out. Maybe they've been in a dire state in their marriage, or, you know, they've been battling maybe porn addiction or adultery, or maybe their just communication is terrible. What are some things that you've seen where couples have reached out and then they've reaped the rewards of it?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thanks for putting me on the spot with that. But there's lots of story when it comes to this. I think the key thing is that we have heard so many stories over the years of marriages at certain points. And you might be thinking, how does this relate to me? Well, the marriages that move past maybe whatever issue they're facing, or not maybe move past, but move through and get through together, there's often an intentionality to it and there's a proaction to it. Proaction. Is that a word? Proaction.
No, it is now. Proactive. I like it.
I mean, we make up words on this podcast. You can track, but they're proactive. And that isn't to say that there aren't couples that reach out at points of desperation and in those times. But the reason I bring up the two different kinds of tracks is those that are proactive, we found, are often much more successful in their marriages. The ones that reach out when they're reactive, it isn't that God doesn't do miracles, but when you have compiled so much pain and hurt and distance between a couple, to come back from that is a lot more work, is a lot more of a grind, is a lot more difficult versus a couple that recognizes the signs and need help, but maybe they don't even, there isn't some drastic signs, but hey, I need to be proactive to have a great marriage. And they make those choices. And those are the marriages that are successful, is the ones that choose to work on their marriage now, not tomorrow. And that's the same thing for us as individuals. Don't wait till tomorrow. Be proactive now. Because if you have your mindset right now that, well, I'm not that bad. I see what that guy's like. I've heard, you know, the horror stories of what porn has done, but I'm not there yet. I'm not anywhere close to that. So I can manage this on my own. Well, I'm going to tell you, those people that hit that rock bottom might've been saying the same thing you've been saying. Maybe a year earlier, 2 years earlier, whatever. They probably said the same thing. I'm not that bad. And so that's why it's important. If you could, your future self could beam back to your present right now and talk to you and tell you this is the time you need to do it, because there's no guarantee tomorrow is you're going to be able to. That's something that's, I think we don't get the importance of our every moment. That doesn't mean to put pressure on you. Well, a little bit, but not to put a ton of pressure on you. But what we mean by that is that we don't know what's around the corner. We don't know what'll happen tomorrow. So in this moment right now, what's the choice that you can make to open yourself up to surrender to God's, you know, direction in this? What's the thing you can do right now to move away from the behavior, but not only that, get healing from the behavior? What's the thing that you can, the choice that you can make right now to maybe shift your mindset, turn the ship, so to speak, a little bit to go a different direction. And this is something that we want to challenge you with, because I think being proactive is so much better than being reactive. And if you're in a stage where you recognize the signs, you recognize, hey, you know, I'm this behavior starting to get a little bit bad. Maybe you've only looked at porn once every 5 months or once every whatever the number. Recognize that. The alarm bells should be going off and you're like, hey, what can I do right now to get help? Because I don't know if tomorrow is going to be better. I think that's a better mindset than, you know, it's not that bad. I can manage this. So thanks for bringing the marriage kind of angle here, but that's what we've seen. And it's the same thing in marriages as it is as for us as individuals. We, you know, being reactive versus proactive, there's two often very different outcomes. Not that we can't see God work in the rock bottom moments or when we are feeling reactive. That's, of course, he meets us in those moments. However, I really believe strongly you have a much better chance, a much better pathway moving forward if you're proactive in life versus reactive.
Totally. And the last thing I want to talk about in this one is, I remember a few years ago, Brad and I, before the podcast, we were still alive, we were still doing things, and
we existed.
Mm-hmm. And so one thing we did was a webinar series, and we ran ads on Facebook to this webinar series. You can still get the replays of the webinars. People are still buying them all the time, and they're like $9, I think, for $9 Canadian. Mm-hmm.
It's barely anything if you're American.
10 cents, US. Yeah. And they're on restoredministries.ca, the Get Help tab, you can find the webinars. And so we ran ads, and I always remember this one comment, and he was like, why are you guys charging for this? It should be free. And I don't know if I responded. I didn't respond anything snarkily, but is that a word? Snarkily? I don't know.
It is now.
There we go. And so, but I just remember thinking, like, this guy that says this, does he work for free? I went, like, we need money to do things.
Right.
But here's the real mindset that's so important for this is, are you worth investing in? Like, are you worth putting $9 to something, to hear something that if you dwell on this truth or this teaching, it can change the direction of your life? I think you're worth $9. Mm-hmm. Are you worth $2,000? Are you worth $10,000? I remember this guy who did one-on-one coaching with us, and he paid, I think, like $1,500 over time. And I remember him saying, he was like, man, if it was $4,000 or if it was $10,000 to save my marriage, I don't care. I would pay anything to save my marriage, because there's a value on saving his marriage. There's a value on you being free of a sin that has been a lifelong battle that's held you back from how much stuff, how many things in your life, how much shame, how many days have you lived with guilt, or you've beat yourself up, your whole self-image has been warped because of this thing. And yet you're not willing to put a few $100 or maybe a couple $1,000 over time to it. I think you're worth it. And so we need to think of money as like it's an investment into us. We're not paying someone. We're not paying someone for a program. We're investing in ourselves for an outcome. Mm-hmm. That's really what people are doing. And so when we started out with Restored, people would always say to me, like, constantly, like, you got to charge more. And finally, when we started charging like at least a little bit more than the pennies we were at the start, I remember there were people that were like, wow, now guys are taking it seriously. And people did sometimes before, but I was too generous. And someone's like, no, you were building a brand or building a ministry. Like, sure. But there was, the generosity was maybe too much for some people because I didn't have them put any skin in the game. And once we started doing this, all of a sudden, people literally the transformations started happening. You can go to restoredministries.ca/transformations and you can see some stories there of people and guys and wives that have gone through some stuff. But once people started investing in themselves and realizing that they're worth it, then they were committed. So if you're listening, I want you to think back in your life, what have you gotten involved with for free? And what have you gotten involved with where you've put money up? And which one did you commit more to? I know for my life, I commit more when I put money up for every time. Mm-hmm. I get all of these things emailed to me, like, go through this course for free. I don't know how many I've gone through. When I put money into things, I go through it. And so that's just a reality of money. And that's why it's important to see money as not just something that you got to hoard for yourself, or no, it's better that I spend $100 on Starbucks every month. Like, that's really what I want to do. Like, no, it's better that you invest in yourself, because not only are you seeing money differently, but you're valuing yourself. You're not paying for a program. You're not paying for a counseling or whatever it is. You're paying for you. You're paying for an outcome because you're worth it.
Yeah.
And God paid the ultimate price. And he set that example. And if you really believe that God is your provider, then we don't need to be stingy. And we need to realize that we are not worth just nothing.
Yeah.
We're not worth saving $9 and not getting a teaching that could change our life. We're worth putting the money up. Mm-hmm. And so this is, you know, even still, like, people will still say to me, Matt, you got to charge more. We don't charge that much compared to a lot of different businesses and ministries, but we do have people put money up because it's important for their own journey. And so if you're at a place where you're battling this alone and you're going, man, for years I've been telling myself that I can do it alone, or I think I'll quit alone, or our marriage, we don't need to let anybody in. We'll just figure this out on our own. Maybe it is time to drop the excuses, and maybe it is time to drop the pride or the shame and to reach out to somebody and get help. you know, there's people that consistently pay $180, $200 for counseling, and they just pay out of pocket consistently. Why? And for like 60 minutes of counseling or coaching, because it's worth it and it changes their life. And they look back over the year of getting help, and I'm talking people that we've worked with, I'm talking people that go to counseling offices or other ministries. They just look back and they're like, whoa, this is worth it. Like this really has changed me. And I know personally, I can speak to that too. And so maybe it is time to reach out. Maybe it is time to look at even reworking your budget and go, is it worth, you know, paying subscriptions for Netflix or for sports things or for whatever, when it's not really feeding me? I'm just learning how to escape and how to numb out. But if I could instead rework some things in my budget or in my time, somebody talked about budgeting his time so that he could make the group work that we offer. And so you could budget your time differently to realize that you're worth it. We would say that today is the time to seek help mm-hmm. and to reach outside help. And so if you want that, of course, go to restoredministries.ca. You can book a call and you can talk to someone. And even the initial calls, which are free, they are really uplifting. I love doing them. I don't do them anymore, but now the person who does do them, he loves it. And so it's just uplifting for people on both sides of those calls. But I know even for family life with the weekend getaways and the different things that you guys offer with workshops and churches, Brad, and like, it's just so worth it to do that for your marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking to kind of the barriers that can stop us from moving forward. And if money is the barrier, that's why it's great what you're sharing, because often these are things that hang us up and stop us because we create these excuses in our mind. You want to get something with the least amount of dollars, the least amount of effort, and the least amount of time that you have to invest. What in life does it works like that at all? You want to exercise and get healthy. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. And it's going to take some money. If you want anything in life that's good, you got to put that time and effort and money behind it. And so that's really what this is about, is are you worth it? And if you think that, you know, hey, I can beat something that's been in my life for 20, 30 years with something that's, you know, free, little effort, little time, you're going to be sadly, sadly disappointed. And that's why it's important that we have a different mindset. We have to change the way we think about these things. You know, if you want freedom in this area, you want healing, you want to grow, you got to, the amount of freedom that you receive and get is going to be coupled with the choices that you make on this level. You know, you have to be able to, hey, I'm going to have to invest some money in this. I need to do this, and it's worth it. It's not about I'm losing, I'm actually winning, because I'm investing in myself. And we see this in weekend getaways all the time with marriages, like, oh, that's too much money to do something for my marriage. And that breaks my heart. It really does. Your marriage is worth it. And to do something. And we think that, well, it has to be free. Well, and the same thing with battling porn. Well, where does that mindset come from? Is money have a hold on you to the point where you are going to be stuck in this cycle forever? I don't think it's worth it. You know, I think so we have to count the cost in a good way. The cost in a good way means it is going to cost me some money to get freedom in the sense of getting into what I need to. It's going to take some time, going to take some effort, but it's worth it versus I'm not going to do any of that. But the cost in the end is who knows? We're talking about rock bottom. We don't know what it's going to look like on that. And so this is why we got to change our mindset. So if you're at that place, I don't know, it's going to cost me this or whatever. Hey, I hear you. I hear your arguments on that for sure. Just Matt and I, we think that there's a better way than the thoughts that you're thinking right now. And that's that you need to invest in this, whether it's the money, the time, or the effort it's going to take. And it's going to take those three things. Anything good in life is worth fighting for. And this is something worth fighting for.
So if you're at that point, we just encourage you to reach out. I know recently, actually last week, I heard a guy talking about your weekend getaways, Brad, and we're trying to get them to go. And he, the guy just said to his wife, like, what do you think? We're rich. And it's like, man, it's not that crazy. Like the price is pretty reasonable. Yeah. And, you know, and then there's months to save and budget for mm-hmm. it. And so just the mindset of like, oh no, that I can't do that. Maybe you can do that. Let's see how we can make that work. So, anyways, we hope that that helps. We hope that some mindsets have been broken that have been holding you back. And so if that's the case, then we praise God and just continue dwelling on that. And it's really true that God's truth will set you free. And so God bless you this week, and we'll chat soon.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to hear more, please visit purevictorypodcast.com to subscribe. This podcast was made possible by the generous donations of our subscribers. If you would like to help support the cause financially, once again, please visit purevictorypodcast.com.